Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Bend the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of the Spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ, O Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 77 will be read in unison. I will cry aloud to God. I will cry aloud and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hands were stretched out by night and did not tire. I refused to be comforted. I will remember the works of the Lord and call to mind your wonders of old time. I will meditate on all your acts and ponder your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. Who is so great as God is our God? You are the God who works wonders and have declared your power among the peoples. By your strength you have redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and trembled. The very depths were shaken. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed to and fro. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the great waters. Yet your footsteps were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, adultery, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Please sit. I bring you greetings from the church, the province of the West Indies, a church that begins just outside of the tip of Florida, travels into Central America and the Diocese of Belize, continues along the chain of islands from Jamaica, the Leeward Islands, Barbados, the Windward Islands, Trinidad and Tobago, and then ends the Diocese of Guyana in South America. And you may well know that there are very strong ties linking the Episcopal Church and the church in the province of the West Indies. We have a saying that there are more West Indians in North America than there are in the Caribbean. And we think so. But what this does is make a very strong bond, creates a very strong bond between the church here and the church in the Caribbean, the Anglican Church, the Episcopal Church. And we know that the strength of many Episcopal congregations in this country, in New York, this side of the United States, the strength rests with the number of West Indians you have in those congregations. We treasure this link. We thank God for this link. We pray it may become stronger and that God may continue to bless and guide our two churches. I speak to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A verse from the first reading we heard this morning, the book of Kings, second book of Kings, chapter 2, verse 19. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." The Elisha stories are among the most captivating in the Old Testament. They portray two free spirits roaming the country, willing and ready to take on anyone who dare oppose the way of Yahweh. They seem to be larger than life characters. And in many ways, they embody what the narrators see as the characteristics of a champion of the religion of Yahweh. There's a prophetic spirit that refuses to be dictated by anyone but Yahweh himself. The commitment to the way of Yahweh and the willingness to face the opposition are some of those critical elements that are present there in these two characters. They are champions of the way of Yahweh. And so they are of the same mold as Amos and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the rest of the prophets. But they take on a rustic flavor that we can all relate to. They are earthy, natural. They cannot be bought for any price. They will not be silent when many may think that they should be. They proclaim the word even if many persons did not want to hear it. They surely were not worried about public opinion polls. Elijah is a mentor, and Elisha the student. Like any protege, Elisha wants to be just like his idol, his master. And the master knows that there must be a sense of continuity if the ministry of the prophet in Israel is to grow stronger and stronger. And so he says to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you." And the response, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And so the two are presented in the narrative as being strong in faith. They're committed. They're determined to challenge kings and prophets with the words of God. No one is excluded from their sharp tongues and their fiery speeches. However, as we meet them in their stories, they are involved in far more than a type of guerrilla warfare or protest movement against the establishment. They're about more than making the king look like a loser. Their stories must be read in the context of a community searching for meaning and trying to understand its journey of faith in the face of faith-denying experiences of life. And those who gave us these wonderful stories about Elisha and Elijah represent a number of persons who grasp some of the essentials that are absolutely necessary for the life of faith, and indeed for life in general. They identified for us some of the essentials through these wonderful characters, Elijah and Elisha. They are essentials that are critical for the journey of faith. And high on the list is a deep sense of commitment to the way of God. In their form, as we have them now in our Bibles today, these stories have undoubtedly received their final shape in the trauma of exile. They are an important section of the stories of the prophets in Israel's history. And the prophets are portrayed as those who kept pointing the community along the way of Yahweh. They are identified as the ones who saw weaknesses, the weaknesses of the present system, and wanted their community, warned their community about the impending collapse if it did not change course. But in it all, the writers of the stories held on to the conviction that God was involved in the crisis. He was deeply immersed in the turbulence and had called his prophets to show the way out to better days. And so, these wonderful stories of Elijah and Elisha, they are addressing a community whose faith had fissures of doubt. The basis upon which their faith was constructed was being challenged, almost destroyed. They had to relate their faith to the many experiences that seemed to challenge the very base upon which it was constructed. And the most painful of these experiences was the loss of their homeland, upon which they had constructed not only their homes and their communities, but their faith. For life in the land was a primary experience that helped them to build and sustain their belief in the goodness of God. The supply of adequate food, the rain and the sunshine, the love of family and friends, the protection from dangers at home and from dangers abroad, were the day-to-day experiences of the goodness of God. It was upon these experiences that they built their faith. But the faith was threatened to the point of destruction by loss of land and the exile. But there were those persons who held on to the faith and sought to preserve it for succeeding generations. There were some basic building blocks that had to be rescued and preserved for the future generations. And Elijah and Elisha are two of the many characters in the community's history that function as models, as the leaders of the community, as the community worked to restore the basic building blocks of the faith. The rebuilding was constructed on the cornerstone that God would not abandon those who had called upon him for generations. It was constructed on the belief that he was always willing and ready to give a second chance. And this understanding of God is captured well in the words of the greatest of the prophets, Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the invitation, "Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." In the crisis before the exile, in the context of impending doom at the hands of the Assyrians, the prophet held out hope. It is on this solid ground of faith that those responsible for the stories of Elijah and Elisha built. God could work through the crisis, so ably depicted in those stories in the characters of Ahab and Jezebel. God could find a way through the maze of pain and loss and frustration and lead his faithful to great experiences of his salvation. This is the powerful understanding of God that is at work in the Elijah-Elisha stories. We must not let this conviction get lost among the more attractive elements of the stories. We can become all fascinated by the confrontations of the kings and the prophets, the miracles and heroism of the prophets. We love to know of those who can take on the establishment. This makes a great Hollywood drama. But the basic line is that God never abandons his own. It is this element that is captured in the faith of the community. And this relates very well to the experiences of our own journey of faith in our own time. For as in the stories of Elijah and Elisha, we too must tell of the presence and the power and the love of God, especially at those times when it may be quite challenging to do so. The real challenge in the stories is the construction of a worldview and the consequential shaping of a society that made the basics of the faith seem as if they were out of place. It was very easy to believe that all the power, that the future, resided into the hands of the likes of Ahab and Jezebel, given their power to control, to manipulate, and to direct people's lives and to take people's lives. It probably seems so obvious to those who experience the trauma of the loss of the land and country in exile that the power, it all seems, was not in the hands of Yahweh their God, but in those of the Babylonians and the Assyrians. But those who gave us the stories of Elijah and Elisha and preserved the tradition of the prophets, they were convinced that power never, ever, ever leaves the control of God. He never surrenders his power. So the prophets refused to accept the belief that power could be short-circuited to the hands of frail humanity, no matter how it is used by us. They refused, the prophets, to reduce power to a level that ignored God's control. And we are to do the same in our own time. Like Elijah and Elisha in the stories in the book of Kings, we are never to forget as Christians the true source of power. We are never to keep God out of our use of power at all levels in our lives, in our society. Whatever may be your experiences, we should never surrender the belief that God remains in absolute control. As in the case of Elijah and Elisha, we have to be sure about what we believe. Those who gave us these stories were convinced that there could be some elements of our faith that should never, ever be placed on the trading block. Is that a case of naive fundamentalism or refusal to develop the faith and to see God at work in new and exciting ways? But rather, it is an effort to ensure that as we develop the faith, God and those divine qualities of love and justice, compassion and forgiveness, that they do not become the variables in life. The Elijah-Elisha stories remind us that there are some things that are to remain constant, They are to be preserved for the faith and should not be placed on the trading block, no matter how enticing are the bids. We need to be clear of what we believe, as those who gave us the Elijah stories were. We must be sure about what we will not place in the marketplace and sell to the highest bidder. And this was one of the challenges faced by the church. For like our Lord, she realized at a very early stage that there is a need for clarity about the faith, clarity about what we believe, clarity about what we should be the constants in our life, even as was in the case of the Elijah and Elisha, those who wrote those stories. For the model for the church is, of course, Jesus, O Lord. And the Gospels tell us that he possessed, O Lord, a clarity of belief, not with the rigidity of Pharisaic theology and piety, but a clarity that proclaimed a God who can reach down and reach out to embrace all of his children. And love was the irreducible and the constant in the ministry of our Lord. We live in a changing world in which we are called to make some difficult choices. And this point is captured well in the episode of the confrontation of the prophets of Yahweh and those of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." Like the people addressed by the prophet, we too in our own time as Christians have to make some choices, and sometimes some difficult choices. The prophets made their choice. Their choice was for Yahweh the God. We too need to be ever conscious of the fact that in our time as Christians, we need to reflect the presence of God. We need to keep reminding this world that it is dangerous, it is folly to trade God and the things of God, to trade them off for what may seem at the time as a more lightened way of life. There are some basics that must withstand the test of time. Love and justice, righteousness and compassion and mercy are among these. For without these, humanity plunges into an abyss of self-destruction. We thank God this morning for the faith. For the faith and the courage and the vision of those who gave us the Elisha stories. We thank him that in their time of crisis, they were able to hold on to the faith and create for their community a vision of God who never abandons but provides the grace to cope with the present and the vision to hope for the future. We pray God in our own time for such a faith. We pray for the vision and the courage and the hope that will help us in our own time to proclaim God as our God and Jesus, his Son, as our Lord and as our Savior. We thank God this morning for the courage and the faith and the vision of the prophets. O God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth,
all that is seen and unseen.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us the wisdom and the means to care for this good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Embrace the souls of all those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We give special thanks for the birth of Sterling Diane Falconetti.
Accept our prayers, O Heavenly Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and what we have done and what we have left undone. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Oh, good morning. The peace of the Lord be always with you. As you can tell from the Archbishop's demeanor, he is a humble man, but with an enormous title. the Most Reverend and the Honorable Dr. John Holder, Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Province of the West Indies and Bishop of Barbados. So there we are. Please welcome them. If you are new to us, please fill out the card that you'll find in the pew and make yourself known to us, and we will be in touch with you. We thank John Barry for all of his work today. Thank you, John. They might say down south, lovely to have you here. John. It's always lovely to have John. We celebrate an Independence Day next Sunday, even though the 4th is on Thursday. Sunday we will be having the liturgy from the 1662 prayer book, just as our founding fathers did. And please bring a friend for that very special service. There will be lots of wonderful music and the 1662 prayer book. Tours of the facility continue for those places that need to be repaired. If you would like to see some of those spots in the cathedral, please see the docent at the end of the service near the baptismal font. Tomorrow is our normal day for feeding the homeless at Sulzbacher. Please attend to that, if you will, at 2 p.m. The Brotherhood of St. Andrew is having their next breakfast meeting this coming Saturday. It's for all men and boys. Please come to that. And mark your calendars for the Vacation Bible School to be held on July 8th through the 12th. And if you would, please register through our website or call Judy if you will. Kate will be back next Sunday. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, and planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation. We return against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again, you call us to return. Through prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, we will bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, O Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God, of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah and Rebecca, Rachel and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only, and not for strength, for pardon only, and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship. From generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share in bread and one cup.
Pray. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted as living members and you have fed us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of your soul. Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.